Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
For the 386th time, we're here with You Can Build It, Your Business. This is Chuck Bartok speaking to you from beautiful Northern California. We are warming up a bit. I think it might be in the low 70s today. And if it keeps going this way, I may even play golf tomorrow. But it's been kind of cold, miserable, and thank goodness we've had rain the last 10 days, which we definitely need, and lots of snow up in the mountains. Not here, but up in the mountains which surround us. We're joined today, Diane Stevenson, who's been with me forever, up in London, Ontario, a very creative person and just a nice person. We have NancyHenderson.com. Now, don't anybody go there because it's not up yet. Or NancyLouHenderson.com. That's not up either. A young lady who, you know, like all of you, I met on the internet. And I feel a very strong affinity to Nancy, as I do with Diane and Phil. And then newly, we have Kendra Radke in Texas. And also, I just met Rose. And I think we all share a common bond in the fact that, number one, we're pretty good people. God has given us, bestowed upon us some talents, regardless of what they are, that he really set out a condition that we should be sharing our talents. And that's what marketing really is, and that's what creating products, which writing a book is creating a product, providing a service like Phil does, a couple of different services, that's a product. And we're almost obligated to do that. And I think that is the, personally, it's my feeling, growing the crop was tremendously rewarding. Just inside, you felt all warm and tingly the first day of harvest. You get out there and you start pulling carrots out of the ground. You bunch them and put them in a box and ship them off. What was even more exciting is when you saw somebody buy that carrot. And what was even more exciting is to see somebody eat that carrot. So those experiences, we have some people here who like to write. And the beautiful thing of writing, you can write the book. But where the real joy comes from, I believe, it's my opinion, that when you communicate and engage with people who've read it, it's worth 10 times more. And it's not the fact that they sent you money. That's nice. That's very nice. Nobody, I don't haven't met anybody that doesn't like money. But to engage with a reader, and what we've experienced, Jim and I, because we're kind of new to this publishing thing, it's only been a couple of years, because everything, all the other times we relied on, quote, publishers, you know. But this engagement, I was on the site just a few minutes ago, and excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Anyway, maybe not. Oh, yes. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I hope all of you had your masks on. But we have people now, of the 13,000 people who have commented, I can't believe the number of them that are commenting over and over again and bringing their own lives into public perspective as to how reading what it is he wrote impacts their life. And to me, that goes beyond selling the book. Don't you agree? Anybody agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree. Totally agree.
You know, and again, it's fun to write the book. It gives you a sense of accomplishment, and it's fun to see your name in lights, but it's even more fun to communicate with the reader. And we all, each and every one of us, have that ability pretty much free to low cost to get the job done. And that's where everybody that's been with me for a while, Diane's heard me say this, I don't know how many years ago, the hub of a person's internet presence is their website blog. That's the hub. That's where everything happens. Social media is not the hub. Social media is nothing more than the spokes that flow people to that hub. Now, Phil, let's introduce yourself again. And I know that you have spent the last couple of years, stop me if I'm wrong, showing local businessmen how they can effectively use social media to enhance their business. Is that still true, Phil?
Absolutely. I mean,
how do you do that?
I use social media both on, you know, my personal page just to personal page more to interact with people, but every once in a while I'll, you know, throw in a business post. But what's really been driving business for me and my clients is, you know, creating that business page and using the paid platform as a means to target people with a certain message. You know, on Facebook, it's more of a social message than a buy my stuff message. And that gets at least people on the radar. And from there, it's how you follow up with them through different mediums to further that relationship and then eventually, you know, start making sales.
There you go. There you go. So it's attraction marketing. These are cliche words I'm using now. They're not new. They go back several thousand years. But the thing you said is that you are not out there blasting the concept. You're asking for engagement to relate. And email marketing does the same thing. Now, we have one website that gets about 20 to 30 opt-ins a day. That means 30 people, 20 to 30, 10, 15, 20, 30, doesn't. It's irrelevant. Never had just one. People who say, I want to be updated when you post something else on your website, the blog. They're asking to be notified. Now, we use an email marketing service that collects those names and puts them in a list that we've created. And automatically, when we post a new post on the website, that is transferred over to the automatically, while I'm sleeping, it goes magically over, and that email is there for me to modify. We do not believe in automation, folks. I'm death on automation. I don't want anything to go out that I haven't seen. And what we'll do is we'll take their synopsis of that post, which they've created through code, and I will go in and edit that letter and personalize it and offer more information, and all the time, either in the first sentence, the second sentence, the third second sentence, there's two things that are said in every email. Thank you very much for your loyal support. And we are always open for suggestions. How is it can we serve you better? And after that, they're given the link to the article, which is the update. Okay. 75 to 85% of every one of the thousands of people that get this open the email. Of that, we're running 70% plus of people who click on the link to go to the website to read that which you wanted them to read.
And you're right about the social media being a spoke, because it's easier to go to that email and go back to that website each time than it is to go to that Facebook site and find it and go back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the email is the place.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that in because, hasn't everybody read these articles by these, I don't know who these gurus are, I've never heard them before, but all of a sudden they're all special. Email marketing is dead. Buy my automatic messenger bot software.
What is that?
I don't know.
I agree. I agree. I haven't heard of that either. Yeah.
Okay, no, there is. Phil, you probably know about the messenger bot, don't you?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I did look into it. And basically,
I do.
Go ahead.
There's actually a lot of value behind that, but it's for, honestly, kind of a different generation. it's there are pros and cons to it. Like, email marketing is never ever going to be dead.
No.
Any ads or anybody that tells you that, they're just fishing for stupid people. it's clickbait.
Yeah.
But I have been messing around with chatbots, and there is
okay.
a certain value to that, depending on the niche, depending on the product.
Very good. And I would like to know more about that. I'm not going to do it because I don't need it. Go ahead.
Did y'all say Messenger Bot?
Is that
the name of it?
Is that what you called it, Phil?
Our chatbot.
Well, they're all chatbots. They're the third-party services that integrate with Facebook, and it's similar to an email list in that you are creating a list of people that you can send out information to, for certain niches, like for some of my niches, my clients' niches, it's great because their clients all have Facebook Messenger and use it a lot.
Okay.
And,
it's like a grouping.
And it shows up on their cell phones as a notification.
I see.
And the open rates are, you know, pretty high, but, you know, I mean, I don't want to say they're necessarily higher than what Chuck was talking about, but it all depends on your relationship and the sales process and really the relationship that you build with the prospect.
Very good.
So it's
okay, so this is a messenger type thing where it's like a group that goes out to them, but they get a ding on their cell phone telling them it's there.
Correct.
Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot get rid of that little, red circle on your messenger phone, you know, that says you have an alert until you open it. So there's...
Ah, and that's when I go spam.
They're kind of cheating.
Well, you know, Phil brought up... Now, Phil brought up... I haven't met Phil personally, but I think he's younger than my youngest son or close to it. I don't know. He's a brilliant marketer. But there is, I'm generational. 90% of the people that we engage with and sell books to are within 10 years of my age. Okay? And we are a generation or a group of people who are more comfortable in certain environments. Now, it is incumbent upon us, though, because I live in a retirement community, and I'm going to say this with a lot of feeling because it hurts me, but it's life. I lose neighbors weekly, okay? And then we have new people move in. I mean, that's just life. That's the way God made the system work.
Fine.
So there's going to come a time when our markets are going to be diminished. And if we're still in business and want to be in business, we should probably look into some of the things that other generations feel more comfortable. You just said it. If you had that ding on your phone, you'd get this. Okay. I don't have apps on my phone. I have a phone list of people, and I just started texting last year. Okay.
Chuck, I still don't have a cell phone.
Well, that's
okay,
Nancy. I mean, Diane's up there in Canada. Well, yeah, we talk to and engage with people who are just like us, you see. But mm-hmm. Phil brought up a good point. Some of these methods, like email marketing works, it may come a time, I don't know when, that email marketing is surpassed by the messenger bot.
Right.
But I only going to address this, that one, when I started using email marketing, the company I chose, the words they used were autoresponders. And I spoke to the owner way back when, and I said, you know, you might want to, because of me, you may want to not emphasize the word autoresponder, because that word just turns me off. I don't want it to be auto. I want to get my hands on it. Now, remember I said I go in and modify the email? I do not modify the link that they automatically pull off of our website. But you are not going to get the standard letter that would go off if I said send this out automatically. And if I pushed the right button, they would send it out automatically. I'd never see it. But the fact that we – and how long does it take me to edit four sentences in an email? It's a puff. It's a puff of life. It takes no time to do that, and obviously you know when to do it because you just put publish. You just put publish on the button of the post, and within minutes that has been transferred over to the email list.
How does that? It also says the person's name.
Yes, it does.
And do you do that, or does
that's already set up in the system that we pay for.
Now,
here's the other thing that'll grab you. And I did this the other week. We posted a post. Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you how we get the names. Okay, but I said, by the way, Jim started writing a new book, and it is being enjoyed by many people like you, because you're a reader already, right?
Right.
And I put a link to the website section that has the first five chapters of that book. And it's a different book, okay? And so the service tells me how many people clicked on that link and how many people clicked on the other link, okay?
Hmm.
Now, if you clicked on the link that takes you to the new book, somebody jump in here and tell me what can I assume about you and your behavior. Think
you like reading the writer is what it is. You're really into how he writes, and that's
right. You're a fan, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, automatically, I can go in there and hit a button, and it will put all the people that clicked on that link into another list. Hmm. And I'm going to call that Link Island. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I can send a letter specifically for the people and saying, I noticed that you've been reading Island in the Sand, and we just like to know, what do you think? Can you share with us your feelings about it? And guess what? People answer that via email. They got an autoresponder email, right? You know, I mean, it's autoresponder. Yeah, I mean, they may not know that, but it's an email just and they turn around, and every day in my email box I'm getting letters from these people answering the questions that I asked them.
Oh wow!
So, but those are, and somebody says, well, you know, I really like the fact that there's a female protagonist in this story, and I never thought he would ever have a female protagonist. And we're really, what's happening is we're growing a larger female audience because our audience is 93% male.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many of those the male I noticed even on his 30 days. How many of them the wives are reading too?
Well, our widows, wives and widows, yeah.
Yeah,
but
it's surprising because I know that's one of the first things when I responded on 30 days way back in the first.
Yeah, you're a pain in the neck. We got to answer all your letters.
He says, I'm surprised as a female that you like this story. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, I told him, yeah, I said, well, yes, you know, this is about our time, our war, our Vietnam, you know.
Yeah.
And what was going on. And you know, of course, I was one of the wives that was home while
right.
one was away. So it had a really special interest grabber for me, but they're everybody, you know, and then these wives that of these people, and then even the daughters and sons.
Yeah, our daughters and sons are coming on
because they are now knowing why their dad does this or
mm-hmm.
their mom acts this way, and that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't talk about it. So.
Right, right.
And I think their story is an untold history that may not appear in the history books because they lived it. And now that lends more credibility to what is going on and what the, you know, what they experienced. So I agree.
Well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. Was that
The thing about it is they're just now coming out and can talk about it because they signed agreements with and
yes.
I'm sure Jim did too because of what he was in.
Yeah.
And my husband did too. And yeah. mine actually died before he could talk about it.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's just now coming out that they can legally discuss
mm-hmm.
and go. And I'm sure Jim's going, I'm sure he's not making a lot of friends doing that, but,
no.
you know, it's the truth.
The Department of
know,
Defense
and,
is still
and the truth,
sneaking around.
yeah, you know, the truth really hurts sometimes that our country did what they did with these young men, but it needs to be known so it doesn't happen again.
Right.
Exactly.
Even though it is.
Rose and everybody else, I want to share with you, those of you who may have not had heard Nancy before. Obviously, you know how we met because she just said it. We met online via a website about a book, right? I mean, that's the way
exactly.
it is.
Exactly.
Okay. Nancy, and I want those of us who are regular or coming joining tomorrow or the next day, reading in the future, Nancy is finally convinced that all of the wonderful letters that Frank sent home to her, and they are gems of they are literary giant letters. Her responses is being formulated into a book.
Oh,
and it's a totally different slant than Jim's story. Jim's story is nothing more than his 30 days only in the jungles, landing as a 22-year-old first, second lieutenant, in charge of 100 men, and 30 days later, only a couple of them shipped out in body, I mean, in you know, that were alive, okay? Now, that's a totally different story than what Nancy has to share with you. And you have some pictures, don't you, Nancy, of you and Frank back then? Like I love the ones. Where were you guys? You keep posting it on Facebook. Everybody, by the way, go to Nancy Henderson Blakely.
Nancy Blakely Henderson is
Nancy
is
Blakely
that.
Henderson, yeah.
Facebook. Anyway, yeah, I have pictures. We married at 18. We were real young, and actually
yeah.
I had about 2 weeks left, but I just finished the second chapter getting it in.
Yeah.
I have it all written. It's just that I didn't put it in the computer.
Right.
So I'm transferring it, but I had 16 letters actually from basic camp, and he tells everything they did to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And then he came in, and we got married, and then we went to Massachusetts, and then we went to Okinawa. And his last year, he went to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But he was Army Security Agency is what he was in and joined for 4 years instead of being drafted.
Yeah.
And but these letters, I have about 122 from he wrote every other day at least. And they're just gems of what he wrote. But he was the writer. I'm just the ghost writer on most of this. But, I have pictures of him there, and I have pictures of us everywhere. And so I find these. Some of them I take off slides with my cell phone
yeah.
and post them. But
the Okinawa pictures I love. Two teenagers. You guys were damn teenagers.
Oh, yeah, we were babies.
I know. Like my grandchildren, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and you look at us, you know, there's one picture when we were engaged, February 14th. And we look like a couple of little kids, and we're fixing to go off and see the world.
Yeah.
You know, and we made a lot of dumb mistakes, but we had a lot of fun, too.
Okay, now everybody on the call, we're going to talk about email. This is what with email marketing. Nancy, I believe, is going to follow in the footstep of Jim's decision to post chapters one at a time on her website, which should be starting to be up this week. She and I have to get together on that.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that yet, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, everyone.
But I want to share with everybody, I believe that this website is going to be trafficked a little faster than normal because of the story. Because of the person who's putting it together, there's real personality there. And for all we know, Nancy may have her own talk show. I mean, that if she wants, you know what I'm trying to say. Well, we don't know those things, but I believe her market is even broader than our market, because I'm going to tell you something. And I see that Phil's still on, and our friend Gerard, gentlemen and ladies, or ladies especially, the power of this world has always rested within women. The strongest people in my life were women. Not that my dad and my grandpa and my uncle weren't the coolest guys in the world, and they were wonderful. But what the glue that stuck everything together was the woman of society. I'm going back 20. That's why I don't know if anybody's read The Boy. We wrote a book, and a young boy. There's five books, but we've only published one of him growing up 225,000 years ago. And so that who's the strongest person in the boy, Nancy? Isn't it a woman? His mother?
Yes.
Yeah. She runs the tribe, yet the men are wearing the flowers.
They think they're running the tribe.
Yeah, they ain't running the tribe. His mother is.
I have a warning for you guys.
Yeah. Come on in, Jorora.
The story sounds so amazing. 120 letters. Boy,
yeah.
Publishing agents would love to get a hold of this.
Yeah. Oh, you understand what she has, don't you, Jorora?
Yeah, they would love to take her to the cleaners.
No, they're not going to take her to the cleaners.
Well, we don't want to be taken to the cleaners.
No, Jorora, Nancy is going to run
her. But I understand what
It sounds good at first what they say, but then somebody might want to make a movie or do this.
Fine, they can make a movie. We've got her protected.
We're going to have a hard time finding
if she goes,
the only problem is Frank will be easy because he was such a lovable, big old teddy bear. But trying to find someone to do Nancy Lou is just going to be a mess.
Yeah, I do have to mention this to everybody on the call. You don't mess with this lady.
No, but it's not the point of the movie being good or not. The point is that if the agent gets a hold of the story and gets all the rights and stuff, she might just be getting 60 cents like me.
Well, Jorora, I can guarantee you she is not going to have an agent, nor will anybody grab the rights of what Nancy does. She will be in total control from day one.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty sure I will.
I know you will. Southern Nevada, who's with us?
Just a small warning, that's all. Just a small warning.
Yeah, I understand. Is that Lisa? No, and Jorora is a perfect example, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a talented young man that's published five magnificent books, very deep books, you know, books on philosophy, required reading at several universities in the philosophy department.
Six are out, and one is coming.
Right, and he's
getting
60 cents a book.
I think it's 75.
75.
No,
it's pathetic, and that's not going to happen again, Jorora, anyway. South Nevada must be Lisa Fredrickson.
Yeah, that's me.
Another young lady who knows how to get the job done. Lisa has a name your, I always forget the name because it's too long for me, Lisa, the name of your wonderful Facebook group.
We changed it for search, organic search.
Oh, sure.
But it's called Marketing for Writers and Authors, and then promote my book.
Yeah, very good. Okay. And you can get to know Lisa privately. She's a wonderfully talented young lady and offers really great resources. And, you know, I always bug her. I'm always, you know, nosing around and making her posts unreadable. But, no, I'm glad she's here because, again, real quick, Nancy. Not Nancy, but Lisa. The topic is email marketing for authors and writers. And
okay.
you had a post about that last week and one this week. And what I haven't gotten to is when I decided to start using, in those days, autoresponders, the reason I chose that was a way for me to engage personally with my, quote, fans, customers, people who pay my bills.
Yes.
And I'm very, very, and always have been, that this has to be a personalized effort. And it's not just the use of your first name. So it's incumbent upon us, number one, to advertise the signing up to my list totally transparent. Now, we offer no gimmicks. We offer no freebies. There's no bribery to sign up for the list. But what is said is you will get X. In this case, an update on new posts. Very simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're ever going to get is an update on new posts. And consequently, that's what we deliver. And because of that, the list keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
So email marketing, the effectiveness comes from your ability to deliver as promised and continue to do it on a consistent basis. And when that person, as every morning, I'm sorry to say this, every morning in my account, one of my email accounts, I have people who have responded to the email that they received from our email server because they want more information or they want to offer a suggestion or they just want to talk. And it's incumbent upon us to answer that person, not 4 days later. Now, somebody said to me on the Facebook, well, how do you have time to do that? Well, I said, how did I ever have time to farm 300 acres of vegetables with myself, my wife, my children, and another hired a couple? It's what we did. It's what we did for a living. It's how we lived. It's what we did. It's who we were. So if an author wants to be in control of their own work, they're obviously, now, you can build a team. You can build a team of people to help you. That's, you know, we all know you can do that, right? Be willing to share, though. You have either going to pay them or you're going to share. And by the way, sharing works real well. But the getting the marketing side, the email side, and all these things done is part of your day. And then somebody says, well, when do I have time to write? And I don't know, Lisa, I've written, I mean, I some of you have written, read some of my stuff under other people's names, but I never thought of it as a chore or that I had to spend a lot of a challenging time to write down my feelings. Of course, it's easy for me because I speak to write. In other words, I don't type. I speak into Dragon, and Dragon types my manuscript, and, you know.
Oh,
it's
I need that Dragon.
Huh?
I really need that Dragon.
Well, we can talk about, and the more you use Dragon, the more Dragon knows what you mean. And the more all the commas get in the right place and the quotation marks and everything else. Dragon.
Right, and does it translate from Texan to the...
Yes, it will type Texan, Nancy. Now, that may be a problem with you.
Hey, Elvira is still giving me trouble on the TV.
What about Mississippi?
You have to understand that the Texas version is Dragon.
Dragon.
Dragon. Well,
oh,
yeah.
Dragon.
Okay, I think I have to chime in too.
Because then you'll understand y'all.
Well, I'm from Mississippi, so I understand perfectly.
You understand. Right.
There you go. Dragon.
That's so fun.
I understand Dragon, not dragging.
Right.
Dragon.
Well, you know, I'm. Some of you may be aware of it. I used it when I found out I had a little glitch in my get-along. But the it works, and it's easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to then copy it, and, you know, like we use WordPress, so I copy that document and put it into the edit version on the WordPress. And I may have to do some tweaking. Nothing, these automated systems, nothing's perfect. You still have to be aware of it. But there's an interesting thing, Nancy. You said, does it speak Texan?
Uh-huh.
That's who you are, and if it did, your readers would love it.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? To be honest with you, there's people that have listened to you on this show already. You know, there's people who know who you are. You don't know who they are. And if you develop a persona on the internet as being Nancy Lou, that mean lady from Texas,
not me.
And all of a sudden, your writing sounded like a Harvard law degree, a Harvard law professor's dissertation.
Right.
You've lost the credibility.
Well, this is really funny, but when I say think, I'm really saying T-H-I-N-K, I did not realize it until I listened to one of the podcasts that I was on before. I really say thing and think instead of think.
Yeah, you're going to have to work on your dragon. You're going to have to work on your dragon
a little bit. The dragon's going to have a... Real
you can train it for an accent.
Yeah, Rose, this is your first time here. I want to get back to Diane and then also Lisa. Rose T tell us a little bit about yourself. How can people get to know you better? And what type of writing do you do? And what do you plan for the future? That's an awful lot, isn't it?
That is, that's a lot. I will try to take them one at a time.
Okay.
As I was saying to Diane, I'm from Mississippi, so I understand dragging and thank and thank. And I say y'all all the time. That is how I am. So, but I'm a writer. I've written 5 novels, self-published. And I've received some awards for them in terms of honorable mention, but they've all been in international contests. Although I didn't win, the fact that I managed to get honorable mention for those novels. I write almost anything in terms of getting a story told. My first novel, my second novel, third, fourth, and fifth, they are about human life, and I try to make the fiction as real as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be some historical aspects to some. There may be contemporary love affairs. There's young adult. There's problems in terms of what is going on with today's youth in terms of drug abuse and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to cover as many angles that hit real life as possible. But because of my own upbringing, I do try to bring in redemptive aspects of the novels. I'm not a writer by training. I am from Mississippi. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, so working in the Delta, I picked a lot of cotton and I chopped a lot of cotton. And before I became a chemist, my PhD is in biochemistry, before I became a chemist, that's all I knew how to do was work in the field. I am telling the truth.
And you're also a department head for a university, is that correct?
I'm a department head for university, and I do cancer research. I'm going to be,
right.
I was invited to give a talk in Spain this summer about anti-cancer drugs that we've been developing at my small school. So although I love writing and I am working on my 6th novel, I also love science. And since I'm left-handed, they say that both sides of my brain work.
I love it. Now, Rose,
I'm in awe. I'm sitting here in awe. I'm writing all this down.
I want to direct you to my website. Yes, RoseStiffin.com. RoseStiffin.com. STIFFIN.com. And I've been listening to Chuck. He talked to me last week. I'm listening now. I am overwhelmed, but I'm trying to incorporate some of the ideas that he's been giving us, either on the phone or email or talking to you guys on the radio. So I'm listening. I am taking notes.
Well, you approached me through another friend of yours in Florida.
Yes, Kiki.
And Kiki was referred to me by Diane, who is on the call with us, Diane Stevenson. And Kiki had a similar question to you. Everything I've seen of both of your work is great, okay? I haven't finished the book I purchased of yours the other day, but I'm working on it. And then we'll put up an honest review, you know, my own personal feelings. But both of you had indicated to me that you're having a hard time marketing your product.
Yes.
And this is what, now here we go, we've got Lisa Fredrickson from Las Vegas on. This is her specialty also. But we as individuals have the power to utilize these wonderful tools and services, most of which are low to no cost. A good website should cost you less than $200 a year to maintain and be effective. And I understand $200 is a lot of money, but that's not a big bump. That doesn't take that many books to make up $200, you know. But what it does take is a well-designed plan of action. And this is what we've been trying to do on this show, is how to use social media. Now we're talking about email lists, and it doesn't happen overnight. Jim and I started his Facebook page just over 2 years ago and the website just over 2 years ago. So that's a long, you know, that's not a long time, but it didn't have 1,500,000 page reads the first month. I promise you it did not. Okay? And early on, we were getting 15, 20 comments per chapter as written and published. Now, we're getting 200 to 300 comments per chapter. That's per chapter.
Wow.
And Nancy gave you an example of what happens. She read a chapter. And she goes, oh, my gosh, this is dear to me. You know what I mean? I relate to this.
And it came, I don't know, it came to my news feed.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know how I got it.
I don't know how you
did. Was open to the world. You know, he's open. And maybe Facebook suggested it to
me. I think it was Facebook, yeah.
And when I got it, I thought, man, I want to read that. And so I came in probably, he was in the chapter 5 of the first 10 days.
Yeah.
And of course, I went right to the front to read the rest of it.
Right.
And then, you know, I did go, you know, go when you go in there, it has you, you know, subscribe if you want. So I did.
Yeah.
And then I started getting the emails. And then I accidentally found his, well, I found his other site, the writer site. And then I accidentally was looking for that and found his regular Facebook site, and I said a thing. I thought, well, he's writing blogs on there too, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So then you're into all of it. But yeah, it was. And then from then on, I was hooked, you know.
Yeah.
And I watched those comments grow, like you're talking. They just kept growing in
good.
Numbers.
And I have to share with everybody my friend Jim. Longtime friend, lifelong, not lifelong, 1970. He grew up the same way I did. We had a similar religious background raising, you know, if you want to call it raising or whatever. And because of the things that have happened to Jim, he, you know, kind of started developing his own thought process, got a little negative, and there's good reason for him to be negative, okay? And I have to share this story, guys. Jim does have a sight problem, and he woke up one morning and he felt his sight going away, and he went to the doctors and they gave him all the bad news, and he had another surgery, right, Nancy?
Yes, he did.
And so he's talking to me in the morning, and he was pissed because the surgery didn't seem to be working and he had to go back, and he wrote about this on Facebook. And of course, Nancy Lou jumps into it. And says, Jim, I'm going to pray for you today. And this is no joke. This is not a made up story, folks. He calls me at 6 o'clock my time in the morning because he's in Wisconsin, so it's later. I'm going to say this on the sub. He says, "Oh shit, Chuck, I don't know what happened." I said, "What's the matter?" He says, "I can see." And he says, "The only thing that bothers me is Nancy was praying for me. And how in the hell am I going to publicly admit that I can see today after Nancy publicly told everybody she's praying for me?" And I said, "Well, you just say it, that's all." And it's true. Jim did not get that other surgery.
Well, and the thing was, is he didn't know how to mention what to say to his doctor. And he went in and his doctor told him, "There's nothing else but a miracle." And I had told him from the beginning, though, that God wanted him to write this book.
Yeah.
And I felt that coming to me all the time. And so I approached him not knowing him.
Right.
In messages and told him, I said, "God has a plan for your healing of other people by writing this book."
Mm-hmm.
And you need to write it, and it is also going to heal you. And then, you know, and he said,
you really scared him to death.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to, and so I tell him now that I'm his pebbler. I'm just a pebbler, and I'm kind of like Clarence.
Yeah.
And you know, in It's a Wonderful Life, I'm really messed up sometimes.
Yeah. That's Jim's favorite movie, by the way.
Right, one of mine too. Anyway, but you know, prayer. You know that he didn't. God wanted him to know that, mm-hmm. that he loved him and that he had helped him through that.
Yep.
And I think he sees that now as he's writing how God actually sent people to help him survive.
Right. The poor guy's not here, so I can talk about him. But I talk about him even if he's here.
Talk about him since he's not here.
But he did have a post today that kind of, you know, shocked some of his followers because it wasn't as negative as most of his crap is.
he figured it out.
He figured it out.
And he's not real sure how to do it, but he's figured it out. And I'll tell you one other. He probably hadn't told you. I don't know. But he thought that something was wrong with that eye not long ago, and he went and sat in his car and prayed, and it went away.
Yeah. No, he told me that. I was aware of that.
And I told him, I said, you know, James, I don't know how long it's going to last. But I know that God, what God wants you to do, and I feel that way about anyone, any of you writers who are writing. There's a purpose for what you're doing, and that book is a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And as yours is, Nancy, as yours is.
Well, and God pushed me on mine too, and I don't know why. I'm not sure what this is all about, but I know that it's going to have to be done, and things don't go good around here if I don't do what I'm supposed to. God asked me, and so, but you know, we're all unique and special, and what we do does matter, and you know, just like sitting here. Listening to Rose talk about she had won these things, honorable mention. That book ought to be out there just going.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need to do.
And that's why I'm here to listen to you all.
Yeah.
Well, in Rose's case, and all of you do. I mean, y'all are way up above me here on this stuff, but I'm talking that I know life and I know God, and I'm telling you that he's after you to get your stuff done.
Yeah.
And, he will take care of you if you do it.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate that, Nancy, because I started part of the program maybe before we hit the button, is that we actually have an obligation, since we're born in the image and likeness of greatness. One of our obligations for being human beings is to expand upon that image of likeness and greatness, image of likeness and greatness.
Exactly.
Anyway, you know what I was trying to say. I got tongue
yeah,
tied here.
Yeah.
The point is,
God that's going to get you there.
Right. Now, here we go, though. Here's an interesting scenario from what Rose has shared with me. She has, obviously, she just told you, she has a full plate. The woman is the head of a department of a university's chemistry program.
Yes.
And she's teaching at the same time.
Yes.
And she's speaking, and it's, you know, she doesn't have an eight to five job.
No.
You know, she is who she is 24 hours. And now we have these books. Now, can they be sold? Yes. And what it was probably going to take is for Rose to possibly collaborate with somebody, maybe like Lisa. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas. Or look at her schedule and say, I'm going to dedicate 15 minutes a day towards the increased presence for the ultimate gain of marketing more books.
Mm.
And again, it's not going to happen daily. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to go from day one to day two and suddenly have a fat check from Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Chuck, you and I have talked about the fact that we really have tried to get people to set up a plan.
Thank you.
And sometimes that takes 5 minutes talking to somebody who knows how to set up that plan.
Right, right.
But that's a good, like, return on your investment if you spend an hour or so with somebody and they really help you lay it out. After that, it's not really a matter of time. It's a matter of what you dedicate to the consistency of what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I agree, and I'm hoping that I can do that because of my schedule and also the learning curve.
Yeah,
you know, and my naivete, because I started writing in terms of trying to get stories told a little over 30 years ago, but then I decided to just wait a while when I came back and really put my energy into this. Technology, of course, had changed.
Yep,
but I was still in science. So my technology went towards science, not necessarily developing a website or developing a web page or knowing how to do trafficking there and marketing. You know, I don't have that background and I don't have the wherewithal just to be able to do it. So I am going to take notes, listen to people, and hopefully collaborate.
And I would suggest that you get to know Lisa. Because she works with some other people who have been on this show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's how much do you want to assume? Now, I actually have in the past, and you know, my wife asked me to not even have this show anymore. But I have literally taken companies, corporations who produce products, and totally handled their marketing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they compensated me. but I was in total control. In other words, if you're going to hire me to do a job, I'm going to do the job. Okay.
That sounds like a good person. That's me too.
Now, you may, because of your position, you may benefit from that kind of a relationship, okay? I'm not suggesting you should, but you may want to consider it, because you said something else. I really have no desire for another learning curve, folks. I'm 75 years old.
Mm.
I'm really happy with the knowledge I've gained. Not that I'm against knowledge, but like Phil talked about the messenger bot. It isn't my shtick, you know, and I don't need to try to perfect that, because the talk show, the website, and social media, effective use of social media to drive traffic to your website with people who want to read what you say. And that's the other thing. Lisa said a very important word about a half an hour ago. I hope most people caught it. And she said targeting.
Yeah, that's really where it's at. Because the reason that Chuck's mechanism works as well as it does is because he's matched up with his audience.
Yeah.
All of the marketing becomes so much easier when your product is matched up with your audience.
Mm.
And then all of the rest of it kind of flows in an organic manner if done properly.
Yep.
So it's, you know, one, your first task is matching up with your audience, and then the second one is using the tools at hand to do that in the best and most efficient way. And messenger bots are a fancy new trendy term right now, but really it's just email on steroids.
Yeah.
So.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But who was it? Who was it here, Nancy? Who was? No, it was you, wasn't it, Rose, that said I don't want my phone to ding or something. Who was it?
Oh, no, that was me.
No.
I was going to spam it. Well, I was going, and I'm sure it dinged in the middle of the night, right? When
Diane, you've been very quiet as you always are, and that's where your strength comes, because you're so deep. What are your thoughts about this conversation? You've been around in this writing business for a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. In less than 4 months, I'll be 73, and I'm not interested in learning a whole lot of new technology either. I've had a hard enough time learning what I do know. And keeping it in my head for the time. But, I discovered accidentally. I wasn't doing anything with my website for a long time. I don't have one anymore. It's gone.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon.
And I don't even have a cPanel anymore.
Yep. Yeah, and that I've come across people. Yeah, I've got a website. Of course, they've never been to it. And when I go to it, I said, it's not there anymore. And now, again, let's emphasize something. These are all things that an individual can do, because this is not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
If your mindset is not there and you're focusing on some other energy, that is where I think all of us should seriously consider collaborative effort. Or you may turn, and that's a sign of great leadership, and a great business person is one who says, you've got it. And I want to see a quarterly report, or you know what I mean. And so now there's another thing, and I don't want Lisa to misunderstand me. In the past, I have found with some of the clients that I consulted with, I was best served, and they were best served when I enjoyed the rewards with them. We would have a blanket, considerably, you know, a flat, low-cost retainer, you might say. And as their business grew, a percentage that satisfied the both of us came to me, which gave me the incentive to continue to make sure that those numbers go up properly, okay? So that is another option that I don't hear too much, Lisa, in the literary world. It's very common in manufacturing, in
I've been in part of those, because you know I was in business and marketing before I jumped into this.
Right.
And definitely when you take a piece of the company, it's going to make it so that you're investing.
Yeah.
But in this industry, the challenging part, and this is where I think the definition of maybe a hybrid publisher comes in. I would take on that type of relationship with the writer if I had some ability to shape the product. the biggest part in this industry is that most of the authors, the reason they're self-publishing is they don't want anybody mixing spices into their kettle, you know?
Right, I understand.
And so if I can't control that product, then it's a little bit more difficult for me to control the whole marketing arm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I kind of go to the, you know, the coaching and the consulting,
right,
which is where they have control over the whole product. And I'm here to just, you know, be that input and all of that knowledge that would take you hours and hours and hours to research.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
where we come up with the idea that maybe more writers are amenable to coaching on a fee basis, correct?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, when I first came into the industry, I was like, I'm not going to do any marketing for anybody because I can't guarantee the results with the way things were going. And then I found out that it was pretty much an industry standard not to guarantee the results. And yet you know me,
yeah,
that I'm like, I'm a customer service,
right,
person all the way, and I've always guaranteed everything I do,
right,
with a like unconditional, and I still kind of put myself out there in a risk area.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a little bit more difficult with not having any control over the product, if that made any sense.
Any questions for Lisa, guys? Did that make sense? It did to me. You know.
It did to me because I understand, you know, because I've heard that before. A writer doesn't a lot of times want anyone inputting into what they've written, but you're consulting instead of trying to sweeten the writing, kind of like. I get that.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to use an example and then have to close the call because we're 4 minutes late, but Shirley hasn't come in yet, guys, so I'm still okay. I haven't been beat yet. Nancy just said something. People wanting to wanting to be in control of their product. And my son trains horses. And he gets an awful lot of money per month to train a horse, and you have to sign a contract that your horse is going to stay with them a minimum of 9 months, okay? And he developed very early in his teenage years running his business under the attitude, if he has your horse and you've committed to pay the monthly fee for X number of months, and he's been with that horse daily, he all by himself has been with that horse daily for, let's say, 60, 90 days, and he calls you up and he says, Lisa, I really appreciate bringing the horse by. I want to tell you right now, it would be wrong for me and it would be wrong for you to spend any more money on this horse. The heart is not there to perform that which you want him to perform.
Right.
He and so many other people in his industry keep getting that money per month.
Mm-hmm.
And then the owner gets the horse back. And it isn't ever going to be in the winner's circle. I mean, I'm sorry, folks. You know, there's a certain heart in the animal because we expect the animal to perform on his own. You know, so that to me is very much like a good consultant.
Yeah, well, and definitely in what I do, I'm upfront about the product.
Yeah.
Tell people, you might want to look into this book or this type of thing or reshape this or get some. I'm really big on the beta readers and getting that product into a publisher standard level without losing your own touch to the book.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that make marketing easier, and one of them is polishing a product.
Yeah.
So.
Well. I know you haven't done it, but and obviously we're very happy with it. But maybe there's a way to hybridize the concept that we publish each chapter as written, and maybe and then we allow our readers to put their input in. Not that they're going to change the book. Well, in his case, we can't change. See, we can't change Nancy's 120 letters from her husband.
Well, and this is where knowing the behavior of your reader is important, though, Chuck, because your readers have a different behavior pattern than, say, a paranormal romance genre.
I don't even know what that is.
And
what was that? What kind of romance?
It's paranormal. I can
something
tell
like
you
Twilight, I guess.
So yeah, no, but paranormal romance is like the readers, they read you know, 2-3 books a day. They
oh,
want
wow.
their books a certain length. They want it to have certain tropes in it. Mm-hmm. And they have certain behaviors. Would they read a chapter, you know,
no.
written?
No.
And would they? No, they're not going to even
I
touch
see.
That.
Okay.
And so it's lining up the psychological and other behavioral issues, not issues, but I mean behavioral tendencies of your genre or your niche with your marketing plans.
Makes sense.
And so that's why you're very lined up with all of that, and that's why it flows the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
And that flows more the more you get that in line.
Yep. It sounds like a lot more people should hook up with Lisa, if nothing else, to have a conversation.
Well,
you know,
I learned three things today while listening
that?
To all of you. Get into paranormal romance. have Nancy pray for my books to sell. And find
I'll
a way to befriend Rose so she'll take me to sing with her.
That
sounds
Kendra,
like a takeaway
well,
to me.
You can easily befriend me. You can easily that's easy.
Yeah, and I got to say, I keep seeing Texas, and she changed her name. And Kendra, I apologize. I have not recognized you this whole call. And everybody, this is Kendra Radke, Radke. And it's K Radke is the website. Is that correct?
Oh, it's K-E. radke.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and I just have to tell you, if you want to meet somebody, you go to that website and you see this person's picture right there in front of you, and you know you have to go further. This is a very ingratiating smile. Everything about her just bounces. Her topic is very interesting and not... Isn't it true that your topic is not... I don't want to say not normal, but it's not every day, correct?
I hope not.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your book, Kendra, or your books, or, you know, the direction you're going.
Well, I have a zombie one coming out. I don't know how well it'll do, but I think it will do well because my beta readers, they said they liked it, even though they're women. I warned them. I said, okay, it's just, you know, this is geared toward men that love guns and
yeah.
gore and blood.
Oh, boy.
And they were like, okay, and so they read it, and they were like, no, it was good. It had a little bit of romance in there. It had funny little tidbits in there, so they were like, oh, I was like, okay. So hopefully it'll do good.
So I never would have picked you for writing that. Never. I love it. I love it, though. This is right up the way I like things.
Yeah.
But
you see, that's what blew me away because, you know, she asked me about, she called me one day or we talked on Facebook or something. And so I went to her website and I go, wow. You know, I mean, I just was immediately attracted. And then, but the book genre is beyond me. I hope everybody understands that's, you know, I'm not abnormal about it. It's just, it's not one that I would immediately gravitate to. Let's put it that way. But I did find out I have to broaden my horizons and learn more about things. So, you know, everybody, I'm going to say this to you. I don't know if everybody knows this. I'm going to quit the call. This line can stay open till the last person hangs up. You all can talk amongst yourselves. You can ask each other personal questions. It will not be recorded. Nobody will know. In fact, I want to thank everybody for showing up, and we'll look forward to seeing people next week, Monday, 6:30 Eastern. This is Chuck Bartok thanking everybody for coming to You Can Build It, Your Business. Go out and have a good day tomorrow because we all know you have no alternative.